Maybe you've seen them, a GoFundMe page set up for a friend's niece who was involved in a car accident, or a page to raise funds for a friend after a cancer diagnosis. They are actually far more common than you've probably realized.
Bloomberg Magazine recently declared that business is booming for these medical crowdfunding campaigns, and a study from NerdWallet of the trend reported $930 million of the $2 billion raised by GoFundMe since 2010 was from medical campaigns. This all seems like paying it forward, right? Lending a helping hand. NerdWallet also reported that, on average, only 1 in 10 medical or healthcare-related campaigns were fully funded. And our next two guests say this friend-to-friend payment system is masking much bigger issues with our country's healthcare system.
Lauren Berliner and Nora Kenworthy are assistant professors at the University of Washington, Bothell, and they released a study of crowdfunding for health issues called Producing a Worthy Illness, Personal Crowdfunding Amidst Financial Crisis. So I asked them, just how successful are these medical crowdfunding campaigns?
We found that a lot of crowdfunding campaigns are not as successful as people perceive crowdfunding to be. We looked at a sample of 200 randomly selected campaigns from across the U.S., and of that sample, only about 10% reached the financial goal that they had set for themselves.
Wow. And what types of campaigns tended to be the ones that were most successful? How did that pan out?
So the types of campaigns that were most successful were ones in which the campaigners were able to most legibly and convincingly represent their needs and represent those needs as discrete and solvable. So it wasn't necessarily which issues were the most tragic. It had more to do with representation.
Yeah, and I think it's also about people and campaigns that can convey to donors that they are going to be a good investment. Mm-hmm. That sounds like really kind of harsh financial calculus, but people really want to feel like they are contributing to a campaign that will result in a successful or a positive or happy outcome. So that could be funding a rare but promising cancer treatment or helping a child with a congenital illness that might have a sort of moonshot at a possible cure. It's also really important to underscore not just what sorts of campaigns are successful, but what sorts of campaigns are not successful. And we have reason to suspect that success is also linked to identity factors like race and ethnicity and class. There's evidence that in other similar marketplaces like Airbnb that a lot of racial discrimination exists, and we suspect that that may also be the case on GoFundMe and other crowdfunding sites, but we need to do more research on that topic.
And I wonder, did you also look at sort of regionally, like around the country, were there places where people were more likely to use GoFundMe to raise money for this?
We're continuing to do research on that. But one thing that we found in our initial research was that a very disproportionate number of campaigns were from states that did not take the Medicaid expansion under the Affordable Care Act. And that was the expansion that enabled more people to access Medicaid and other supports for accessing publicly funded health insurance. And so that tells us that potentially in places where there is less access to wider options for getting insured, more people are turning to crowdfunding to address the expenses of illness and healthcare.
Right, right. And how much money do sites like GoFundMe or GiveForward or one of these sites make off of campaigns like this?
So this is a really important question. GoFundMe charges a 5% fee in addition to related credit card processing fees. So off of every campaign, no matter how much you raise, GoFundMe gets 5%.
So you also argue that there are some consequences of this trend of medical crowdfunding. So what are those consequences? What are your concerns?
We already have a fairly unfair healthcare system in the United States, in which certain groups of people, people with certain conditions, you know, don't always have access to the care that they need. And what we're afraid about is crowdfunding taking that already unfair system and making it more unfair by making it kind of hyper-individualized so that each person is responsible for crowdfunding and campaigning and marketing themselves and their illnesses in order to pay their bills and in order to survive. That takes our sort of idea of healthcare as a right that we're entitled to and really distills it down to healthcare being something that you have to work for and campaign for.
Did you see language that showed that? How did that manifest itself on these pages?
Well, overwhelmingly, we saw people who were really distressed that they had to turn to crowdfunding in the first place. So a lot of the campaigns we looked at had people saying things like, I feel so ashamed that I have to ask people for money. I wouldn't do this unless I didn't have any other choice.
So that's why I wonder, because that's kind of my experience with looking at sites like this too. Like, isn't the assumption sort of behind these campaigns that something unfair has happened to this person so that they have not had this covered by health insurance, or that they cannot afford such and such treatment that they should be able to otherwise? Is that, did you see a lot of that?
Surprisingly, there wasn't a lot of reference to healthcare at all.
I think it was 70% of people in our study mentioned financial hardship explicitly. Mm-hmm. People weren't specifically talking about what kind of health insurance they had. And I think that points to this idea that there are large sectors of the population in the United States who they might have insurance and they might not, but they're still universally facing enormous bills for their healthcare expenses. So what we saw was that a lot of people in our study were what we might call underinsured. So really high deductibles, really high out-of-pocket costs. They had insurance, but it just wasn't protecting them.
Are you surprised that given the state of our nation's healthcare system, that this was necessary and that this is a rising trend?
Absolutely not. I think that crowdfunding sort of shines a light on the kind of dark corners of our healthcare system that we, at least in the public health and medical fields, know are there, but feel sometimes ill-equipped to cope with at a policy level. You know, I think one of the reasons that crowdfunding has attracted so much media attention and so much popular attention is that it refracts and underscores our collective social anxieties about our healthcare system and our own worries about falling through it.
Yeah. All right. Lauren Berliner and Nora Kenworthy are assistant professors at the University of Washington, Bothell. Lauren and Nora, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.